that burn. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's turn back to the 7th chapter of Matthew. The 7th chapter. Verse 26. And everyone that heareth these things of mine, and doeth them not. Now he's been telling them in his sayings that there's a straight gate to enter in, a narrow way. And he says, and every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Now I read three different kinds of builders here. And I suppose because of my position just at this time, I've been thinking quite a little about building, because some of you have heard that we're building a new home. We're building a duplex, and I've been preaching to some of the electricians and the plumbers and the carpenters, and we've been talking a little about builders. Now, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain which buildeth it. The Lord Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. When I was talking to the contractor the other day, I said, I'm paying for this house. You're building it. It's my house that he's building it. And it might be his house and I'm building it. Or he might be building his own house. But in this case, it's the Lord building his own house. There's no contractor, there's no agreement. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. We were taking a young woman home Thursday night from the meeting that just got saved a week or so ago. And she said on the way home a lot of good things. And one of them was, it was so fitting as what I used to think. She said, I used to wonder what church was right. And she said, I sampled a lot of them. I went to nearly all of them. And she said, I just wondered which one was right, and I was trying to find out which one was right. And pretty quick, in her joy, she said, now I know I'm right. I know I'm right. I know I'm right, too, when I'm in this church. If you're in the church that Christ is building, if you're not in a church that nobody had his hands in but him, you're not yet in the church that he's building. Because he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. I sometimes laugh at ourselves when we get up the platform. We say, well, now I'd like to have you listen to this, and I'd like to have you listen to that, and I'd like to do this. And I wish I could get clear out of it. It's the Lord, my friends, that speaks, and it's the Lord that wants to speak to you. What's the difference if you listen to us or not? He that said, he that heareth my word. He that heareth my word, not hear the preacher, I can shout away here, that doesn't mean a thing. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. And we can't add anything to it. So the other night I was stopped at a certain place. I was asked to go and speak to this girl that got saved afterwards.
And then after I preached to her a while, they took me over to another place and they happened to have a television. And there was Billy Graham preaching. I thought, now here's my chance to see and hear Billy Graham. So I just thought, well, I'll listen to him. My, how good he preached. And there was a doctor sitting there, a veterinary. And pretty quick, Billy Graham had him coming down forward to the 100. And the doctor says, what are they bringing him down there for? I said, 15. That's right. 15. My friend, he doesn't get saved by going forward. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, and we're told to preach the word. And the man and woman that adds anything to the word to make converts, he's laboring in vain, for he says they labor in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. That buildeth it. And the Lord Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And if I love the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm interested in what he's building. Why, even some of the Christians already, before our house is done, every once in a while, some of them been out here, said, we haven't seen your new house yet. Well, it kind of done me good. I thought they might talk a little bit about me. They wouldn't want to see my house. They didn't go and talk about going to see somebody else's. It made me kind of glad to think that they was interested in me to know what we're building. My friends, if you're interested in what the Lord is doing at this very moment, you'll be interested in that church of which he said upon this rock, I will build my church on the gates of hell to not prevail against it. And I never could sing truthfully until the night I was saved. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All the ground is sinking sand. What are you standing on, my friends, tonight? What are you building upon? When you turn to that 7th chapter of Matthew, there it says, the man that heareth his saying and doeth it not, I reckon him unto a man that took his house upon the sand, and when the rain descended and the flood came, it fell, and great was the fall of it. Why is it great?
Why is it great? Because it takes a great salvation to save you from it.
Where do people go when they come to the end of the journey? That I'm built on a sandy foundation. And every man that is in on building on Christ and on Christ alone, I don't care what else you build on. You might be building on your faith. You might be building on what you believe. And it might be you believe about Christ. But let me tell you, I always believed there was a Jesus. I always believed that Christ died on the cross ever since I was a boy. When I was brought up under that kind of teaching, I was a Baptist and I was taught that Jesus died on the cross for sinners. But I never knew that it had to come to a personal matter, that I had to find out that it is fancy that had to be landed upon the rock of Christ Jesus. Well, my dear old father got saved many years ago. He's in heaven now. My father-in-law said, oh, your father. He says he's been jumping ever since he was born. He said he was baptized as a Lutheran, and then he said he got over into Ohio and he joined the Evangelical. And then he got out here to do it, he joined the Methodist. And then he went over to Hudson and he joined the United Brothers. And after that he went to the Baptist. And then he got transferred to the First Baptist. And he said he's now this, whatever it is. He didn't know what it was. Well, I said to my father knew enough to keep jumping until he got on the rock anyhow. And then some of you better jump. Well, let me tell you, if you die upon the sand, there'll be a fall by friends that'll be eternal. I can't imagine what horror it must be for a person to go down to the caverns of hell and hear, son, remember, in my lifetime, what happened in the lifetime. In the lifetime I made to believe that that rich man heard the gospel. He had a poor man that sat at his gate, and he was fit for heaven when he died. And I made to believe that that rich man knew what some of you know here tonight, that there is such a thing as being saved. There is such a thing as knowing your sins forgiven. And here you sit.
And probably you say, oh, plenty of time. I was talking to a lady, I think she was here in the meeting tonight, I hope she is. From down here, we just talked a little while ago over the hall. I thought maybe she was saved. She was sitting there with a Bible, and I walked up to her, and I talked to her a little bit, and I said, would you like to be more sure that you're saved than you are? Well, that's just what I would. Let me ask you that. Wouldn't you like to be more sure that you're saved than you are? Wouldn't you now? Be honest.
Wouldn't you like to be more sure that of your heart seems to be tonight that you'd be absent from the body and present with the Lord and you'd be sure of it? Wouldn't you like to be sure? They ask us, how can one be sure? I was talking to an old man, he's been a Catholic all his life yesterday. And I got him a Catholic Bible, and his son was trying to prove to him that the Douay version proved the same thing. And we were talking to him, and he said, you can't prove it to me. He said, I want it proved. I want it proved. I said, where in the world would you go for proof? And I tried to show him in his own Bible. Oh, I want it proved. But he wouldn't listen to the Bible. How can you prove anything if you won't listen to the Bible? I think it was Dr. McCullough asked him, where are you going to get it? Go to get the proof. Where are you going to go? Who are you going to go to get the proof? I want to prove, he said. My friend, I know it's hard to be convinced. I often tell people it took me 2 years of a dear neighbor of mine, and I watched him so close, for I heard that he moved there, that he was a man that had a strange religion. That was one of the first things I heard. And the next thing I heard about him was a man that knew he was going to heaven. Well, how a man could know he was going to heaven with all these different doctrines and beliefs and different doctrines and baptisms and all the rest of it? How can a man know? How can a man know? I used to argue it before I was saved. I was raised a Baptist and they put me once under the water. And then when I joined my wife's church, I wasn't satisfied with once under, they put me 3 times under. And after I'd gone under 3 times under, I still hung to it that once is under is enough. Even after I went 3 times under. And I can see myself down to the river fishing one day, and my father-in-law got in an argument about it. And he argued, he said, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that means 3.
Well, I didn't know anything. I couldn't argue too much.
And then he said, when Jesus died, he didn't die with his head back that way. He died with his head bowed. And that's why when he died, he bowed. So you have to go forward. He argued that.
And then I argued that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost was one. I don't know how I knew it, but I must have heard it someplace. I know I didn't know anything about it, but I said it anyhow.
And I said, if they were one, then one thunder was enough for all 3 of them. And when I think of the ignorance, the ignorance that I see that I was in now, it amazes me to think that ever got delivered. And my friends, you're here tonight and you wonder, and that's all you have to do to perish. It's thunder and perish. I for God what's the work in your day. Although a man declare and you will not do, and you wonder and perish.
What is this work? It's the Lord Jesus Christ picking up poor rocks out of the quarry and putting them in this building. That's a nice thing to be put in. I'll never forget. I like to tell people I was looking at my watch tonight, I was at him. I could have told you the second when the Lord picked me up and put me in. I don't give myself any credit for salvation to the Lord. It's the Lord that builds the house. He says, hands off. I can't save anybody. You can't save anybody. I can't put an anxious thought in your heart. If I could, I would. If I could put an anxious thought in the heart of any here tonight, I'd be glad to do it. But I know that I can't. And if the Word of God and the truth of God doesn't awaken you and stir you up, you'll never be stirred up. We read in Isaiah 64, no man stirs up in himself. But when you get over to the New Testament, the Lord Gospel says, Christ, He stirs up the people. He stirs up the people.
How does He stir them up?
He lets you know that without Him you'll be in hell. That's the way He stirs you up. When you find out that you're in this world without a Savior, you will be stirred up. And if you never received him, you haven't got him. If I wouldn't have received my wife, I wouldn't have had it. God, you always kind of pleased with something we do ourselves. I'm just so silly when I do something, I like to tell people I did it. But you know, when people get saved, we can't say that. Well, I even made myself a wristband for the day. And I said I was going to patent one of my own. My own got dirty and I'm patenting one of my own. I just took up a little piece of leather and I glued it together and now I've got it on then. I did that. Look at my pattern. Look at here. Short to you now, you show the pride of a man, a human heart. My house, how the Lord Jesus must be.
A boy that he put into his body and think of what it cost him. It cost him his own life, blood.
That dear lady's in here tonight that I spoke to up the hall. My, it would be a sweet morsel for us. After me, he can come and tell us, the Lord put you in. The Lord put you in. You say, when will he do it?
when you have faith in his word. They that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that believe in his teaching. Now, when we turn to that building, the builder in 1 Corinthians, that's the Christian builder. But they're building on a rock. And no matter what else happens, the rock is what makes them stand. I well remember years ago, I was down in Kansas, having some meeting, and a Methodist preacher comes to the meeting. After the meeting, he won an argument. He comes to me, he says, you can't have eternal life. He says, nobody has eternal life. There is no such a thing as getting eternal life, because eternal has no beginning, it has no ending. And he says, you had a beginning. He says, how can you have eternal life? So I says, the life the Lord gave me didn't have a beginning. The thousands of them had it before I ever had it. The life that I got, it had no beginning and it's got no end. But I remember when I got on it, given it on the racetrack, it has no end. But you know when you got on it. But it has no end, and you can't, there ain't no time you can't get on a racetrack just because it has no beginning and no ending. It's a circle. And when I got saved, I got eternal life, I got a life that never started and it'll never end. It's the life of God. And this man said nobody can know that he's got eternal life. I'm glad I could tell him I had eternal life. I was telling people lately about a 2-hour session I had with a priest in Waterloo lately. Nice fellow, they call him Reverend Drexler. A young fellow from Dyersville down here, and he stuck his head out for it because he asked me to come over. And I went over. And after we got over there, I found out we was going to get into it. And I said, now listen. I said, I can disagree plenty of you then, because I'm sure we're going to disagree. Oh, sure, that's all right, he said. And so he got his Jewish version, he got his concordance, and I had my Bible there. My old Bible, I had it pretty well marked, and I could find things pretty easy. And I was showing some things, and we turned to the door and see how they read. You know what that man told me? He said, we're both telling you the same thing. And I said, what's that? He said, eternal life. I said, no. I've got eternal life. I ain't striving for something I already got. I'm not trying to get married. I am married. I'm not trying to get eternal life. You know what that priest told me before I left that parsonage? He said, if I could know what you say, you know. I give up my priesthood, I give up my religion, because that's all we're after. Now isn't it a joy for me to sit here, a dummy like me, and know what that smart fellow don't know? Now God don't, he hasn't chosen the wise, not many wise men, not many noble calls. God chose the foolish things to confound the wise. And that's the reason I got in. Because I did confound some people. I even confounded the preacher, the preacher in the church was, because he said to me one day, he said, when did you get so smart? Well, I knew I was wise, all right, of the salvation, because Christ is my wisdom, and I didn't need any more. Yeah, I wasn't any more sure of going to heaven now than I was the night of that faith. I'm resting on the same thing, and they'll never change throughout eternity. As our brother Paul's been telling us, after we're in heaven 10,000 times, 10,000 years, this time that they reckon, we'll have eternal life no more then than we have it now. God's promise will be no better in heaven than it is here, and it's no better here than it is in heaven. If God says I'll never perish, I'll never perish. Oh, it makes me think of Mr. Herman's boy. He went through high school, and he was kind of smart, and he hadn't got saved. And my brother and I got saved, and my father-in-law said to me one day, why don't you get George? Why don't you get George? He said, he's educated. He knows better. That's the reason they don't get him. That summer, George got saved. And I come down to the barn one day, and George was sitting in the fort, and my father-in-law was up in the hay on the way here, and I heard George preaching to my father-in-law for dear life. And I listened through the corner. But if I wasn't tickled, I thought, well, there's your high school boy now. He was too smart to get saved. But he was saved, and he was telling him that he got saved. And I remember the day he got saved. Well, he come running out to the car, we come home from the meeting that day, and he come running out of the car with a rubber apron on. He's been washing bottles in the milk. Come running out of the car and he says, I just got saved. I said, how do you know? And he stopped my mouth pretty quick. You know what he said? God said, you stopped my mouth too. He said, God said, so that's all I know. That's all you know. But you need that. You doesn't have less. You've got to have God's word for it. You doesn't have less. And you don't need more, you don't need more. Throughout eternity, only you never need more than the eternal promises of God. We're going to sing when we get to heaven, and we know beforehand what we're going to sing. We absolutely know what we're going to sing. We're going to sing on the hymn that loves us and washes from our sins in his own blood. Now then, it says here, no other foundation can no man lay than that we lay. But you declare for the saints of God what we lay upon that foundation. And what we lay upon that foundation, the gold, silver, and precious stones, is what according to this word. And the word hand trouble is that which
you have your own opinion, probably. I'm glad for that gold, silver, and precious stones. To me, it speaks like this. The gold speaks of the glory, and I'm living for the glory. That's the gold. Are you living for the glory? If you're living for the glory, you're putting the right material on that rock that won't burn in that day. Now, this is a Christian building. And you say, what's the silver? Oh, I do silver speak to redemption. And you know, we don't waste any time for God when we're trying to win souls. A person that doesn't have any love for soul, I'm afraid many times we love a little sermon we made up rather than soul. I'd rather think of a soul than a sermon. I wouldn't give a snap of my fingers for a sermon for a person that didn't have love for soul. Friends, we'd love to show you that we do love you. And that's the reason we're having these meetings tonight. This meeting tonight is to you that are unsaved. These lights are shining here for the unsaved. These teaching here tonight for the unsaved. Why? Because of the gospel meaning. Us Christians don't need the gospel, although we love it, because that building is silver, the redemption of precious souls, and then the precious bones. I believe that speaks of those he's putting in the building, every one of them is precious. Peter says that one. Precious souls! Precious souls! Why, if we could just win a soul for Christ, how do you do it? With the gospel. With the gospel. My heart loves it. So just sit down beside somebody that really wants to be saved. Then that's where the gospel comes in. This dear young man that took me up the meeting the other night, and I took that young girl that just got saved along. I remember the day he was saved. He rung me up about 6 o'clock in the evening. And I thought that was a peculiar thing, that he rung me up at that time of the day. But I went down anyhow. And when I got in his house, he was reading the Bible. In fact, he's a contractor, and he's doing the cement work in our house. Now, he's a nice young fella. And I sat down beside him, and he was reading the Bible. And I said, what seems to be your trouble? He said, I ain't saved. I said, how do you know you're not saved? And he said, I just know it. Yeah, but how do you know it? If a man knows it, he's got to have some authority on the ability of knowledge. If you absolutely know you're not saved, how do you know you're not saved? Well, he couldn't tell me only that some people had something he didn't have. Well, I told him that might be the smallpox as far as I was concerned. Somebody might have something you don't have. That doesn't mean anything. Because some people have a different religion than us. That don't mean anything. How do you know you're not saved? How do you know you're not saved? And I'll put the same question you guys did to him. Well, he couldn't answer. And I had to tell him the only way he'd ever find out for sure. And I said, if you never find out for sure, from this book alone, that you're not saved, you'll never be saved. And if you're here tonight and this book didn't show you were unsaved, it'll never show you how to be saved. That's for sure. So I said, finally, he said, how in the world am I ever going to find it out then? Well, I said, would you believe it? If I showed you in the Bible where God said you were wrong, I would, he said. And God says, I'm wrong. So I showed him that verse in 2 Corinthians. If our gospel be hid, it hid to them that are lost. Is there someone in the meeting tonight and you say, I can't see it? I can't see it. I just said to this dear young man, I said, now supposing your wife, she'd got home at that time, she'd been away buying groceries. I said, supposing your wife asked me if I could see something in this room. And I looked for it. And I looked for it. And you sit there and smile. You can see it. Don't let it cost you any effort at all. You know right where it is. That you thank you. Now, as long as I can't see it, it's lost to me. All at once, he looked up to his wife and he said, he called her honey. He said, honey, God says I am lost. Did God ever tell you he was lost? Did he? Everyone that's in that church, he said, my sheep have been lost here. My sheep have been lost here. Now, everyone that's in that church, of which he's building, they have been lost here.
and the Son of Man come to seek and to save that which is lost. And I remember when he saw that, the power of God will be hidden to them that are lost, he said to his wife, honey, God says I am lost. And I remember showing him Luke 19 and 10, where I went back here to Luke 19 and 10, and there was quite a space between, and I can see him, he's looking right over here like this. If our gospel be heard, it's hid to them that are lost. God says I'm lost. God says I'm lost. He go over here, the Son of Man come to seek and to save that which is lost. The Son of Man come to seek and to save that which is lost. Is there someone here tonight that God has told you you're lost? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I wasn't saying anything. He just went back and forth, I dare say, a dozen times. And I had to watch him out of the corner of my eye. I didn't want to look too direct. But he was sitting beside me on the lounge. He went back and forth, and back and forth. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. He just told his wife, God says I'm lost. But back here, the Son of Man come to seek and to save that which is lost. Pretty quick he said to his wife, he took his Bible like this, it's quite a ways apart, but it's getting awful close together. And pretty quick he said, honey, I'm saved. Did you say that? Now where did he get that? I wasn't saying anything. I was done. I'd said my little piece. I just showed him the scripture. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Now, if I was to ask you to come forward after the meeting, after we explain this to you, all that's not of faith is sin. And if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, and I add anything to the word of God, that's sin! I think it's the violent kind of sin. To try to misconstrue God's way of salvation. God's way of salvation is hearing the soul to him. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word. I have a lot of offers here. I'll let him sit on his feet straight now. But anyway, if I go into your house today and try to sell your wife a washing machine, and your wife would say to me, I don't need a washing machine, and I'm a drunk at such a thing. Oh, I said, you do, but you just don't know it. You let me start around here, I'll prove it to you. And you let me start around, and pretty quick I'll pile up a whole girl dirty clothes. I said, you tell me you don't need a washing machine? And I convince you you need it. Now I can talk to you about a washing machine, but not until you see your need. Well, now I got another job on. I've got to make you the Jesus is the machine you need. And so I began to preach the machine now. I've got to see your dirt, but now you've got to see your faith in this machine. You say, are you sure that's a good machine? Oh, and then I began to tell you what it will do, what it has done for others. And pretty cheap, you say, I see my need. How can I have it? I said, lay down $100 and cure it. And you lay down $100 and pretty quick you've got a nice clean one. Now listen, you're a sinner. The blood of Jesus Christ is a cleansing machine. Cleanses from all sin. How can I get him? You don't need to lay down a copper. You don't need to move a muscle. It's all done. He's done the great transaction's done. He's done the work that's saved. And all I have to do is to believe. And anything beyond believing is beyond God, because God says he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's all I need. I'm going on my way of rejoicing. Some people tell me, if I believe like you, I'd have a good time. I said, that's just what I'm doing. I have a good time every time I speak and sinners and tell them God loves me. That's one of the best times I've ever had. And I'm glad we're able to tell you that. Thank you.